put the silicon in Silicon Valley? I'm David Brancaccio. First, America's central bankers followed the script yesterday and raised their key interest rate by 0.5 percentage point. That short-term rate that the Federal Reserve uses as a kind of throttle can now go as high as 4.5%, which bleeds into most other rates that we pay. No surprise there. The Fed's thinking about next year's, where the news is. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer was at the central bank briefing yesterday.
Yesterday's half percentage point interest rate increase is a step down from the 0.75 percentage point hikes earlier this year, but Fed Chair Powell made it clear the Fed isn't done raising rates. By making it more expensive to borrow, the Fed is trying to cool off demand and tamp down inflation. Yesterday, the Fed estimated that economic growth next year will only reach an anemic 0.5%, but Powell said he doesn't think we'll slip into a recession.
It's slow growth. It's well below trend. It's not going to feel like a boom. It's going to feel like very slow growth.
But Powell added there's no completely painless way to bring inflation down. Job losses are likely as the economy cools. The Fed projects the unemployment rate will rise to 4.6% next year as its benchmark interest rate soars above 5%. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Nancy also asked Powell about stagflation, where inflation keeps at it even as the economy falters. That'll be in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed later if you miss it on the air today. Stock market players seem aggrieved. The inflation fight was not declared done and finished. S&P futures are down a lot now, 1%. NASDAQ futures are down 1.3%. The future began 75 years ago tomorrow with the invention of something small that some argue is more consequential than the wheel or the printing press. The transistor was born at Bell Labs in New Jersey, December 16, 1947. This week, we're looking at the ecosystems of innovation that turned that invention into modern civilization. This morning, how the transistor revolution gets to what would later be called Silicon Valley. Why there, of all places?
Because his mother lived there is one of the answers.
He's coming home. Yeah.
Right. And he's on a lookout for what he called hot minds, and he brings them all there.
A tech curator, an author, and a historian talking about why William Shockley, one of the Nobel Prize winners for the transistor, moved from New Jersey to California's Santa Clara Valley to be closer to his mother and to start a transistor factory. There are other reasons. Leslie Berlin, the historian, is author of Troublemakers, Silicon Valley's Coming of Age.
Okay, I will throw out universities, Stanford and Berkeley across the bay.
Well, what are some of the other ingredients in the Silicon Valley mix?
You've got the presence of the Department of Defense in the form of Moffett Field. And this becomes vitally important because the only place that can afford to buy transistors early on is the Department of Defense.
I suppose the weather is nice out there, but there are some cultural aspects there. Like, you can try something, it may not work out, but your name is not mud at that point. You might get a second chance.
It was a place for risk takers. And the way you can see that most clearly is that nearly everybody came from somewhere else.
And it's got funders who also embrace risk. David Laws is semiconductor curator at the Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California.
Just the ability to borrow money once you've flushed venture capital money away without success. If they saw and understood the reasons why it wasn't successful, then they'll take a risk with you. That won't happen in many parts of the world.
I think it can't be underestimated the importance of William Shockley himself showing up and being able to attract the hottest minds.
Shockley, as Gordon Moore said one time, was so brilliant he could see electrons. But he was very egotistical, wanted the glory for himself. And the style of management he used just really upset all these young new grads he had hired. And so they decided to seek fame and fortune elsewhere.
This not-so-quiet quitting of eight people at once, the traitorous eight in Shockley's view, is a turning point in the Valley, the dawn of startup culture. In search of a new gig as a group, one of the eight calls his father's stockbroker. And here's the advice.
What you really ought to do is set up your own company, and we will find funding for you.
The Gordon Moore, speaking with the Electrochemical Society in 2016. Dude's got a law named after him. Moore's Law foresaw that transistors on a chip would double every year for decades. And that stockbroker, well, he finds venture money from a camera company back east for the traders, which becomes Fairchild Semiconductor, where Laws, the curator, used to work.
The combination of venture capital, the fact that many companies spun out of Fairchild, all the resources in terms of supplies of equipment and other services, just created a whole ecosystem that was very receptive to the growth of new companies.
Out of this nucleus comes Intel, with a market value today of $120 billion. Moore is co-founder. Another of the eight, Robert Noyce, one of the two inventors of the integrated circuit, becomes CEO. Shockley never does get especially rich from his transistor. In 1982, he runs for governor of California, pushing a platform that embraces the racist view of eugenics. He loses. And note that out of that group of eight who left Shockley, all but Moore were new to California, and two were international immigrants, including John Arnie, who devises the process that revolutionizes chip manufacturing. He's from Switzerland.
And this continues to be a key to Silicon Valley's success in the form of immigrants who are new to the country coming now. And back then, it was immigrants who were new to this specific part of the country.
And back at Bell Labs, two other immigrants, one from Egypt, one from Korea, were to invent the kind of transistor we're most likely to use now. More on that tomorrow. And we're just finishing up a 20-minute podcast on all of this that hits the Morning Report podcast feed on the transistor's birthday tomorrow. I'm David Brancaccio with our Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.